for the morning to your Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
He is not confined, he can found. He will not resign, he resounds. He is not restrained, oh hear the sound. Oh hear the sound. Rocks are falling, the broken calling to the God who moves the mountains. The earth is shaking, the weary waking, to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains, yeah. He is not surprised, he surrounds, he cannot be stopped. Drawing near, oh hear the sound, oh hear the sound. Rocks are falling, the broken calling to the God who moves the mountains, the God who moves the mountains. The earth is shaking, the weary waking to the God.
morning. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Taylor. God, you are the God that moves the mountains. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it this morning. Brothers and sisters, I put up a website yesterday. A couple of the headliners have been to visit me. And one of the headliners said, Erica, look at this. And I did look at it. And I wrote it down. Then I forgot it. Then the Lord brought it back. You see, Headline is about to start this movement. Can you imagine? 69 years old, starting a movement. Well, get ready. The movement is called Just Unapologetically Free in Jesus. When the headliner dropped that just, I looked at it and they said, well, Sister Erica, that's Jesus saves. Jesus saves totally. Jesus, you saved totally. So I thought about just ministry, just church, just. But then I put that thing together, just unapologetically free in Jesus. Unapologetically free in Jesus, because Jesus, you saved totally. So the movement is going to be just unapologetically free in Jesus. And I already got the website up. It's www.justunapologeticallyfreeinjesus.com. Already, I'm waiting to get the notification back from the state. I already locked it down. I already filed for a trademark on it. I love it. Just unapologetically free in Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, it is time out. It is time out for us. What's the word? I don't even know what word I want to use, because it ain't even a part of me. It's not even a part of my vocabulary. But that day, when the headliner dropped that just, see, some things I think about them, and by the time you know something, it's already done, because I know that the devil is a thief. And I know that many, many things he has stolen. But at this point in my life, when I'm unapologetically free, he ain't gonna steal nothing else. So the movement that I'm starting is just unapologetically free in Jesus. We don't have to apologize to nobody, because the Lord Jesus Christ has made us free. And we're not going to be running around here seeking no freedom. We already free. Jesus made you free. And he's making you free. So when that thing hit my spirit, for real, for real. See, I'm not the kind of person have to wait 1,000 years to do anything. When the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to me, it's alive. I got it. I'm going to do something about it. So now you're going to be a part of a movement. And watch. Since it's not my movement, it's God's movement. And you know how I know beyond a shadow of a doubt Now, I just put the website up yesterday because I waited until I got the name on all the domains so that this time he can't steal it. He can't devalue it. And it ain't nothing he can do about it but take it. He, meaning Lucifer, who turned Satan, and his witches and wizards and demonic hosts and fallen angels. Because see, brothers and sisters, faith is now. I live this thing. And my whole purpose was to get to be 69 to start a movement. Watch. Just watch. Just watch. But it's not my movement. God sent somebody here. And they said, Sister Erica, just. And they gave, I think they gave me something else too, but the thing that stuck was, and I tried to find Just Church, but I couldn't buy it. Somebody already had it. So you see, brothers and sisters, don't think when you email me something or we talk about something, you will know how I feel about it because I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to know how God feels about it because he's going to tell me. And when I get to okay, it's over. So I'm going to build on this movement. And guess what? You all are part of it. You're part of it because God sent somebody here to give me that word, one word, just. Then the Holy Ghost, when I was talking the other day, the Holy Ghost added the unapologetically free. I didn't know where that came from out of my mouth. And then when the Lord started talking to me about it, he said, put it together, Erica. Just unapologetically free in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to back down. You don't have to take down, but you're going to have to take the reins and you're going to have to tell people how Jesus set you free. See, that's not been most people's confession because Satan has used shame. He has used embarrassment. He has used devaluation techniques, mind control, manipulation, witchcraft. To stop the body of Christ from proclaiming that they are free. It is a very clever thing that he has done. Very clever. But clever don't work. See, it didn't work with Adam and Eve, and it's not going to work with us. So I'm going to get the rest of that website up. Not today, because the prayer meeting for the oil is today. But I got it up enough that everybody knows where I'm coming from with it. And I got some more to add to it. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to write this in this chat room. You're going to have to be unapologetically free. In Christ Jesus. And you're going to have to know it. So remember the day I said God was going to do something in 3 days. He did. He did a lot. I got a lot of testimonies here. And I'm going to try to get those testimonies up. Because God has turned your life around, Ingrid. And I think it's time people need to know about it. God has turned people on this line. Your whole life has been turned around. And I think you ought to be unapologetically free enough to talk about it. Free enough to be a witness, Patrice. Unapologetically free. And you ain't got to apologize to nobody about your freedom in Christ. You don't have to apologize to anybody about where he has brought you from. And you don't have to listen to no negativity about it. And if anybody wants to say anything to you about it, tell them to take it up with Jesus. Tell them to take it up with Jesus. Because he is the one that made you free. And if somebody got a problem or an issue or some conversation, then they need to take it up with the one who made you free. What can you about it do about it? You didn't make yourself free. You did not make yourself free. So therefore, you can be unapologetically free. Are you understanding where I'm coming from this morning? If you are, and you need this chat room, I want you to text I am, or either I am becoming just unapologetically free in Jesus. And you ought to be willing. See, I asked some of you a long time ago to write your testimony. Some of you wrote it. Some of you didn't write it. I don't have it, but I tell you what. If you are unapologetically free in Jesus, write that testimony. Send me your picture. And I'm going to let you do a video narrative on that website, on a page with just you on it. It's time to come out the closet. It's time for you to come out the closet. And you know what? When you come out that closet, I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost to shut the door and seal it up by his own power so that the devil can never open it up against you again. Type those testimonies up. Send me your picture. I'm going to put it on your own page, and we're going to follow it up with a video narrative. Because you got to be for real. We live in that kind of world. There are those who don't believe that they can be made free, really. But I'm here to tell you something. It's an ongoing process. But the day you got saved, you were as free as you were ever going to be. Did you know that? I want those testimonies. I want your pictures. I'm going to put them on an independent page on that website. I just had to get it up. And now I'm going to get help with it because I'm going to expand it. And maybe somebody will call you up because they can identify with your testimony. Now, not 50 years from now, now. Because I've already got the ball rolling. I've already initiated the move. It's happening now. I don't have to wait and tell you I'm gonna do this, and it's already done. I think Pastor Michael already put it up here. www.just unapologeticallyfreeinjesus.com. You ought to be able to not be ashamed of it, and you ought to be able to post it, and you ought to pray to God that somebody will call you and ask you how they can get where you are or what you got. See, I'm not a coward soldier. And I'm a real soldier. And I'm a real warrior. And I'm a real businesswoman, too. But I'm about God's business. And I'm so glad he done turned me loose, I don't know what to do. I'm just happy because I'm just unapologetically free in Jesus Christ. And you know what? I have made so many enemies. I have made so many enemies along the way. To God be the glory. Because I stayed in my position and it has not changed. For 33 years, it has not changed. But I watched God bring that position he gave me 33 years ago out and up and to the forefront. That's why I can play that song this morning, the God who moves the mountain. The God who moves the mountain. And you know what? If you're with me on this TED line, you have been through maybe to a greater degree than me, or maybe to a lesser degree than me. But guess what? Like I used to say years ago, we're all on the same ship. I just wonder how many people are going to jump ship. I've seen a lot of them jump ship before the ship reached the shore. But you don't have to. The captain of the ship, hallelujah, the captain of the ship that set our course does not allow ships to sink. Remember, he was sleeping on a ship and a storm arose. And his disciples said, Master, don't you care about us? And he got up out of his sleep. Calm the storm, and the wind ceased, and the storm was at abeyance, just like that. You're right, the captain is Jesus. Absolutely right. Did you feel that peace come over this where you are just then? I felt it. See, when you get in that will of God, things change. When I post your testimonies, you will step into the next level of your own destiny in Christ. It's in Christ, brothers and sisters. It's in Christ. But let me tell you, Sister Chris, you're not birthing it. You done birthed one. You're in the process of birthing twins. Twins. Some of you gonna birth triplets, quadruplets. Forget about birthing one baby now. You done already birthed that one. I helped you. I was the midwife. Because, see, some people, I guess they could have twins and didn't know it till birthing time. Look, now that I got that out the way, I gotta share something with you. This is the message that God gave me this morning. And it's flowing If you look at where you were when you first came on this TED line, you will see that you have flowed right up to where I'm getting ready to go right now. This is just something that the Lord wants me to always stay mindful of and always to continue to teach, okay? So I'm starting off like this. The Bible does not shut down our spiritual nature. Instead, the Bible liberates it. So put this in the chat room. The Bible liberates our spiritual nature. The Bible does not shut down your spiritual nature. Did the Word of God liberates it? It ought to make sense. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God, who is a spirit, has made us in his image, Genesis 1:26, as spiritual beings. Put this in the chat room. God wants you to enjoy and express your spiritual life in ways that honor him, make you creative, and enhance our humanity. With that thought in mind now, I'm going to tell you where I'm going. You see, God has been around since the beginning, because he is the beginning. And the worship and seeking of supernatural powers other than God has been around for a long time. Satan, or I should say Lucifer, who became Satan, has used and still uses witchcraft to prevent people from finding, living in, and appropriating holy, write this down, holy spirituality. Holy spirituality, which is found only in God and in God alone. Lucifer, who became Satan, uses people with evil human spirits to engage in witchcraft in order to entice people away from God. The first thought of witchcraft usually is, this is witchcraft real? The second thought I want you to think about this morning is, what do witches think that they're doing when they engage in witchcraft? I want you to think about what is the nature of the spirit world toward a power other than God. What is the nature of the spirit world toward power that gives self-enlightenment or empowerment? It's called witchcraft. Witchcraft is common the world over. Hear me this morning. Contrary to secularizing theories, which predicted, it was a failure as a matter of fact, they predicted that as society modernized, They said that witchcraft would disappear, just disappear. Well, we know that that theory didn't work. It was wrong. Because, you see, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on witchcraft this morning. Because God doesn't want you ignorant when it comes to it. And you're going to have to overpower, overthrow, and destroy witchcraft power. Because it's becoming more prevalent. Okay? And you see, witchcraft's prevalence, it can be easily seen in like other nations like Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, and many, many, many countries where witchcraft practices might include the wearing of certain apparel, consulting dead ancestors for success, even worshiping dead saints, or witchcraft practices to get money, which seems to be what this American witch is propagating. But the bottom line is, witchcraft, the manipulating of certain objects or elements to inflict harm or death remotely or through the controlling of another person with or against their will. You see, in certain nations, engaging with the spirit world pervades the intricacies of their daily life. As an example, in certain nations, if you give a cup of water to somebody, you might find that they're careful to leave a little water in the bottom of the cup. And then whether you see them or not, they're going to pour it on the ground, the water, in a ritualistic enactment of sharing it with their ancestors. Let me tell you something. There is, put this in the chat room, a worldview of witchcraft. Witchcraft is not regulated to anywhere exclusively. There is a world view that is common the world over. Different name, different ritual, same theory. Are you hearing me this morning? In parts of this nation, world, that we live in here, I'm not talking any, I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about a worldview of witchcraft that shapes every small thing people do, from what they eat to how they go to bed at night. Brothers and sisters, with very little practical distinction being made between ancestral spirits and evil spirits, because they all belong to the spiritual world. They all belong to the spiritual world, and there are nations in which this is known and is not considered hostile. There are nations in this universe, in this world, that you can't even understand their life without understanding witchcraft and the related aspects of the insecurity in which witchcraft, cloaked in silence, because its practitioners do not want to advertise is what they are, and that this is what they do, and or that this is what they will do to you, because they're afraid if they speak out and if you know that you will be provided with ways to stop them. You will be provided, because what am I saying here? They know God is God. They know God is superior. But they have either been acculturated into or adopted occult ways, occult means, and occult assistance. There are nations. I'm talking about the worldview of witchcraft this morning. There are nations where witchcraft is discussed publicly, even if rarely. And this is because they have a belief that public utterance of information arising about the occult gives the occult spirits and forces their power. And so they believe that best way of protecting themselves and their society is not to mention witchcraft. Yet, on the other hand, there are nations in this world where witchcraft discourse is said to have entered the public domain by means of the mass media, meaning people talk about it all the time. However, whether spoken about silently, witchcraft occupies a central place in people's imaginations. And put this in the chat room, the real problem, witchcraft causes relational damage. Witchcraft causes immeasurable relational damage. And the people within those nations live under a witchcraft presumption that other people's motives are continually questioned. And so a climate of fear, suspicion, and mistrust is the norm. The norm, brothers and sisters. The truth is, thousands of men, women, and children die as a result of witchcraft and witchcraft accusations around the world. In Europe and America as well, there has always been indigenous practices of witchcraft. Now, I'm not talking about Africa, because that seems to be the norm. In Africa, they have a very good, broad base of spiritual understanding, both bad and good. But you see, in Europe, somewhere around 1735, the Europeans tried to eradicate belief in witchcraft. They passed the act over there. And it was based on the account of witchcraft in England and Wales. The act described how the majority of people at the time continued to fear witches and put their faith in magic. So a researcher went over there named Owens, and his research showed the degree to which magic, witchcraft, fortune telling, influencing the people's thoughts and actions. So that's why they tried to pass that act in an attempt to eradicate the religious traditions of Scandinavian, Celtic, and Germanic tribes, which were existing undercover beneath the surface in Northern Europe. But today, these pagan practices have become more manifest in Great Britain and the United States of America, attracting increasing numbers through a counterculture, especially during the 1960s. This counterculture led It led to the spread, that's a good word, spread of New Age practices. And the trends were reflected in like the tarot, crystals, palmistry, yoga, alternative healers, without any detailed or precise information. Nevertheless, there were a lot of dark occult goings on through society type people in Great Britain and the USA, I'm talking about Europe. They were very much aware of all these different manifestations of witchery. Even the Anglican Church, so aware that most people don't even know that every Anglican diocese has a dedicated exorcist. I don't know if you knew that. In the Church of England. Over here in the West, it began to grow in ways, especially due to the internet. The internet grew witchcraft more than any other way, the movies, the entertainment, I should say, in an attempt to make it mainstream. Paranormal investigators, ghost hunters, ghost whisperers, spiritists, mediums, religion, black and white magic, Luciferianism, Satanism, through jewelry, talisman, charms, channeling, past life regression, ancestral presences. The list goes on and on and on. All the underworld beings angels from the dark side, demons long thought over with, rituals and acts. Right now, brothers and sisters, hear me this morning. They are undergoing a revival. They are the demons, the witches, the evil human spirits, the wizards, the sorcerers, the magicians, the Satanists, the Luciferians, the Rastafarians, the Freemasons. They are undergoing a revival. They're taking their place amongst us, above us, below us, and all around us. Now, the Bible takes this seriously. The Bible takes seriously the existence spirit world. Put that in the chat room. The Bible takes seriously the existence of a spirit world. The engagement of that spirit world apart from God is dangerous and destructive. So, there's no part, and there will never be any part to demythologize witchcraft. For the evil, wicked craft it is, a craft that is real. And the whole wide world is aware of it. And we are only a whisper away from a neo-pagan resurgence in America. Witchcraft is raising up distinct problems for you and for me. Yes, it is real. Yes, witchcraft has its own nature. And the answer to that question, what do witches think they're doing when they engage in witchcraft? Here's the answer. Having their own way. Simple. Having their own way. Now, you got to look at this worldview of witchcraft. There's a worldview of some nations that witchcraft it can be used for good. And there's a worldview for some nations that witchcraft can never be used for good. I'm talking about a worldview. Earlier this year in South Africa, witch doctors were summoned by the country's soccer authorities to cleanse Johannesburg new national stadium for the World Cup in soccer. You know what happened, the expose with the football player. His wife used witchcraft and he got 5, I guess, or more Super Bowl rings. There are competing world views, brothers and sisters, over the spirit world's existence and the spirit world, the worldview which claims that the spirit world does not exist. So the question becomes then, maybe, what do the witches actually want? What are the human motivations and attitudes that drive witchcraft? Drive witchcraft to the point that people are killing people and over there in Africa and parts of Great Britain for their body parts to use in witchcraft rituals. People are killing animals for their body parts for rituals. And people are killing people. As sacrifices and ritual killings. I'm going to tell you a little story. I had a doctor and his wife. They were in the process of getting a divorce. And his daddy died in Africa. And his dad was a chief and a man of high esteem. Well, when a person in this particular esteem dies, they have to have a head to go in the casket with them when they bury. And they were running around looking for somebody to kill. I'm talking about a doctor, and his wife was a PhD in pharmacology. And they paid somebody to get a head because they were not going to bury that body without a head in that casket. And I asked them about that. And they asked me. It's been a lot of years now, so I could talk about it, but I didn't talk about it for a long time. Somebody lost their life so that this guy's daddy could have the head of a human being buried with him in his casket, brothers and sisters. And then they kept that body out until they got that head. They could not bury that body, bury that person. Well, I thank God that I didn't know whatever. But I watched this, and they were very, very, very upset, very distraught. And you know what else happened? Their relatives became fearful when they didn't have that head, because they were gonna have that head. And somebody's going to hear me, and you know what I'm talking about, and you know I'm not making this up. You see, from the worldview of witchcraft, there can be all kinds of different motivations for engaging with the spirit world. They got a museum over there in Zambia, which is full of the objects and it's considered art now, tools that were utilized in such religious practices. Well, that's not a big deal. They got the same thing over there in England, where those different kings and queens had torture chambers and stuff like that in the bottom of those big old palaces. And they got the same thing in the Vatican. You see, witchcraft, info from the spirit world for the dark side, has always been motivated by a desire to control and manipulate, period. Another common manifestation is a desire for knowledge to control, and a fear of death. These themes are common to manifestations of witchcraft in different societies and have been throughout time. Acquiring body parts with this worldview makes sense. Because acquiring those body parts are a means of controlling and manipulating the spiritual and the physical realm. And many times, through some form of, write this in the chat room, sympathetic magic. Sympathetic magic. The most widely practiced form of witchcraft is sympathetic witchcraft. Sometimes called superstitions. You see, this worldview, from a biblical perspective, this worldview of witchcraft presupposes a view of creation in which there is a spirit world that interacts in powerful ways with the material world. And in this worldview, it's believed that human beings are able to access the spirit world through various means, and by accessing it, control people and events in the material world. It doesn't negate God, but it presupposes the existence of God. But in practice, it denies God's reality. Mediums, spiritists, fortune tellers, they're all capable, and they all operate through a worldview of witchcraft. A worldview. Example, in Haiti, witchcraft is the nation's religion. Period. Just period. And the practice is just like over there in Europe, where you have a state-controlled Orthodox church. And there ain't no difference. So in order to win this battle, in order to overpower witchcraft, you must remember one thing. Witchcraft presupposes the existence of God, but in practice denies God's reality. Can you put that in the chat room? Witchcraft presupposes the existence of God, but in practice denies God's reality. So therefore, that is the reality in which they access the spiritual world. The problem is that they completely ignore the fact that Jesus exercises authority over this same spiritual world. Are you hearing me? So therefore, you cannot look at witchcraft as what they are proclaiming that they are, a religion, in the truest sense, because the Bible affirms, put this in the chat room, the Bible affirms that there is a spiritual realm. The Bible teaches us of a Christ-centered vision of spiritual reality one in which Jesus is in charge of the spirit and the material world. So therefore, the world views on witchcraft are rejected. By operating through the occult realm. In some parts of the world, this worldview is even teaching that there are financial incentives for adopting a worldview of witchcraft and negating a biblical view or the biblical view. Because some spiritists, channelers, witches, sorcerers don't witness to Christ authority. And another problem we have is that the church has despiritualized the Christian life. Within the spiritual realm. It's coming back. It's better. But this is what you're facing. I've been looking. I've been trying to figure out. You know, anyway, this is what you're facing. What we facing. At some point, when the church despiritualized the spiritual realm and Satan disappeared, as an entity, angels existed, but they even labeled the engagement of angels and God in human affairs as mystical, I don't even know the words that the church had just failed to address the problem of witchcraft, because then they would have to address the fact that they despiritualized the church. So what happened? They dismissed witchcraft as superstition. Therefore, the church, put this in the chat room, the church has not been pastorally effective in responding to those people caught up in witchcraft practices. The church has been driving the men and women of God further into the arms of witches and witch doctors. Yeah, I said it. Why? Because when the church despiritualized the spiritual realm, it has a problem offering redemption through healing prayer or exorcism. Where these are pastorally appropriate, it can't even provide security against the realities of witchcraft. Sad. It's sad. So the church people had to try to run to the witches for relief for problems that they could not solve. Because you cannot solve a spiritual problem through natural means. All spiritual authority is located in God. And it takes supernatural power and supernatural knowledge from God in order to approach supernatural spiritual problems with efficacy and effectiveness. You see, in the New Testament, Paul said that God created all things visible and invisible through Christ in Colossians 1:16. This includes the spiritual world of angels, good angels, bad angels, heavenly beings, cherubim, seraphim, living creatures around God's throne. Christ is sovereign over all evil angels, demons, who are in rebellion against God, who exert evil influence led by Satan, the head of demons, the Lord of the flies. Jesus recognized that evil spiritual powers were real, and exercising demons was a significant part of his ministry. We Christians, believers, are in conflict with hostile spiritual powers, wrestling with them, against the world rulers, the world view, the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All of them, although spiritual beings, although powerful, but they're all subject to the Lord Jesus Christ's authority. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Brothers and sisters, Paul said, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What am I trying to say? Satan got to bow. Devils got to bow. Demons got to bow. Witches got to bow. Satan has got to bow. Lucifer got to bow. Because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. But I just wanted to share with you the world view. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about and I'm going to explain to you soul hunters, and how there's a parallel with the activities of Babylonian witches. Well, I'm so happy. If they can practice and perform their witchcraft, I can teach how to stop it. I can give you a biblical understanding how to overpower it in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. And yes, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See you tomorrow on the TED Line, where I am just unapologetically free in Christ Jesus.
Come. Come on, let me see you put them up. Come on.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me.
Over
and over again.
Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go.
Let's try this. Clap your hands. Come on.
Woo!
You know I could have been sleeping in my grave. keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me.